Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fourth and Fantasy. I am Hancho, and as always, this is my guy,
Rocco. Call me Rocco.
Rocco, come home, Rocco. Nothing else. How you feeling, my G? Happy holidays. I hope you had a good Christmas.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Lamar Jackson kicked some ass. And
he sure did.
As well as Derrick Henry. So I'm off to a good start in a couple leagues.
I can say.
Dude, yeah. Thing. Patrick Mahomes is getting back to his elite self, right as most people that have him are eliminated from the playoffs. So good luck with that.
Yeah, shout out to them boy, the Baltimore Ravens. A couple of good guys on their team, specifically their tight end, got me a good little lead, a nice little, you know, some points, well needed points in the championship game. So we moving into the right direction. But like I just said, this is the championship week. We are coming into the last bit of this wonderful 2024 fantasy season, and it has been a wonderful season, to say the least. I'm very sad, actually, because this is just my second season of Dynasty, and it already feels like I knew I was drawn in after the first year. This second year has caught me back in. And I'm looking at more championships. I'm in more leagues. That means more championships. How would you say your overall season was, Rocco?
Oh, this is the best damn season of Dynasty football I've ever had. I made it to the finals in all of my big money leagues. And I'm in a total of 8 finals.
Okay.
Out of 25, which 5 of those are rebuilding, so you know, mission accomplished in those leagues.
Mission accomplished.
To make it into the finals in damn near half my leagues, and even to take down my co-host in the Super Friends League after all that mess that was.
I was talking. Y'all remember last week? I was talking all that. Yeah, man. It didn't turn out. It didn't turn out very well for the kid. It didn't.
you did beat me in the best ball league. I won the free league, but I mean it's free. Who gives a shit?
I was mad. I was so mad. I was up like 20 points in Super Friends, and then all I just see is this man's points just start to take off, and he ended up like blowing me out by at least 50 points. It was wild times. Anthony Richardson started going off. Jonathan Taylor started to go off. There were some other members on his team that started to go off. And I just knew I was done so at one point. So I hope he brings it home. Shout out to that boy. That, you know what I mean? He's holding Fourth and Fantasy down very well. We were going to be well represented in that league. So I'm not too mad about it. And as another battle of Fourth and Fantasy, right now me and Max are battling each other for the chip. In one of our leagues, Dumpster Fire, we're going against each other right now. The Steelers did not set me out on a good path on that one, I must say. Pickens and I had to start Najee, and they both were just eh. So Max, if you're watching, my G, you got your Steelers might have done you some little justice, but we'll see. Like you said, I'm in numerous championships. It's been a fun ride. I'm in. When it comes to money leagues, I'm in two. I'm lasting in two, and you know we're looking good. One person just got ruled out today. We'll talk about them a little bit later on in the show. That kind of threw a little fork into my day as we tried to bring home a chip. But we're going to pivot, as always, and hopefully we can actually, you know, take one home. But as always, follow us on Blue Sky, that wonderful app, as we love to talk about, as always. You know, this has been a busy holiday, man. And with the fantasy season coming to an end, you're definitely going to see more postings about, you know, our top, you know, our top guys in the draft, whether it's quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, whether, you know, our draft strategies, how you post to, or how we're thinking about, you know, layering these guys of, you know, some of our favorite guys and some of our underrated guys. So it's going to be a lot of more depth, a lot more, you know, we do Debbie Player of the Week, but we're definitely going to be taking a lot bigger dive into these prospects. So we can be very well prepared coming when these rookie drafts do come aboard.
Absolutely. It's one game away from rookie draft season, so mm-hmm. it's fast approaching, and you're probably not going to get too many first-round picks out of people unless they're are in a championship game and truly desperate. So if your trade deadline is still open, I would send out offers to the two participants in that game and see if you can't, you know, uncover value in trades. And you know, if you haven't traded some of those older guys on your team, or you just want to get off some guys that are giving product that are producing right now, now is your best chance to do it, because a lot of people are going into this championship game injured, hurt, busted. So they will do just about anything to, you know, win that money, win that trophy. And, you know, it's also a good time to make offers for some of those injured guys, because those injured guys aren't going to help these people in the championship game win money. Mm-hmm. So that's another asset you can go after if they don't have the picks you're looking for. So,
yeah,
you know, it's still not over even for the people that are out of it. You still have ways to improve your team right now.
Yeah, I will say in certain leagues where the trade deadline has moved past and you can't really make any moves right now until the offseason, I've sort of checked out a little bit, but not, you know what I mean? I'm still in there trying to check out. You know, you never know what players hit the waivers that, you know, people around this time of year, people just start, you know, emptying their rosters. So I'm just keeping an eye out for those. But for, as Rocco's pointed out, with those leagues that do have trade deadlines that are still open, or that don't have trade deadlines, excuse me, see what those teams in the, you know, in the playoffs or in that championship game, or, you know, they're trying to improve too. Actually, it brings me to a conversation in one of my leagues where someone started an argument because they were like, oh, typically, you know, trades are locked and teams aren't able to upgrade in a, you know, in a, let's say, a championship week. I was just like, man, listen, in none of my leagues that I'm a commissioner in, we don't have trade deadlines. I don't like it, especially in Dynasty. I think you should be open and fluid. And then when you're, especially when with me and how we go about Dynasty, it's a 365 type of deal. So, yeah, I am a total advocate for no trade deadlines, whether it's championship week or not. Get them things in and keep people active.
I mean, honestly, you know, somebody would be screwed right now if they had CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Hurts on their team, and they would have pretty much no way of winning their game. So you give them that one last opportunity to do what they do to make a move to get somebody that could help them win, and it's going to be a win-win situation, because you, that person probably has to overpay in terms of assets to get, you know, that guy on his team, on her team, to help win. So, you know, it can help the team that's out of the playoff race, and it can help somebody win money. And, you know, weird shit happens at the end of the season, so it's good to have those opportunities and avenues to acquire talent, to acquire assets, mm-hmm. because in most of our leagues, they are shit on the waiver wire. You know, people are jumping for Michael Carter on the chance that James Conner.
Oh, man, I've seen.
And that's when you know you're truly desperate, because
it's funny as hell.
Come on.
I've seen people jumping through hoops and nails. It's almost been every league I've seen that, you know, people are still fighting tooth and nail to go get a chip for. They're like, oh, let me go get a Michael Carter. But, like, literally in the first reported practice of the week, they're like, oh, James Conner was at practice. He was just limited, but he looks okay. You know, a couple of guys like James Conner, it sounds like he's going to be good to go for this week. Drake London, another guy who got hurt last week, he could have went back into the game. He should be good to go this week. So, and through the grapevine, we could be getting J.K. Dobbins back. So it's, you know, this is, you know, a couple. We do have holidays. Christmas was yesterday. We got a couple games yesterday. Now, that first game, Kansas City versus Steelers, I think it was interesting towards the beginning, and then it kind of just teared off towards the end. Mm-hmm. But Kansas City came out victorious, 29-10. They improved to 15-1. Mahomes went for three tutties, man. Three tutties, 320 yards. Kelce gave us a very good game. I was actually going against Kelce. Pissed me off to see him have one of his good old regular, you know, and he passed Tony Gonzalez as the leading TD reception leader.
He pissed me off because I've been playing him for most of the year, and he's been getting me single digits for most of the last month. I sit his ass for Tucker Kraft, and guess what? He goes off for 23.
Luckily, you're going for crazy.
So luckily, I also have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry on that team, so I'm not too bad off, but, you know, it would have felt a lot better if I had those 23 points in my lineup. But, I think that's, you know, sometimes you have fantasy and dynasty PST TD, and last year I lost because I had Kelce in the championship game, and he got like 6 points, and I had Njoku with his 20 points sitting on my bench. So I think that was part of it. But I do like Tucker Kraft, and I think the Green Bay will have to score some points against Minnesota, so hopefully, you know, he doesn't screw me over too bad. But, that's where we're at with Kelce. As soon as you sit him on the bench, that's where he's going to, you know, go off.
No, I love this game. What I thought was pretty interesting throughout the whole thing was you saw Xavier Worthy put together another nice game. Go for 8 catches, 79 yards, and 1 tutty. And you're seeing him just get more involved. Seeing him, you know, the game slow down a little bit, them get more innovative of how they get him the ball.
Something that's pretty interesting, Coach Speak Index, which is a really essential follow on the socials, he put out a video of the offensive coordinator for Kansas City basically saying Worthy is in that Rashi Rice role where, you know, he started off slow and now he's, you know, gonna just skyrocket from here. So it seems that's what he's doing. He's putting up Rashi Rice type performances in the last couple of weeks, helping out a lot of people win ships from a guy that we really hadn't expected much from for a good portion of the season.
And then on top of that, when you part of the game, and I spoke about this last week, DeAndre Hopkins, I had the chance to start him this week. I decided not to do that shit. Just off of what I saw last week, I just didn't like, you know, once again, the piece of the pie with Hollywood Brown being back has decreased. I know somebody who did. They took the gamble on starting Hollywood Brown this game, thinking, all right, that's another week with him in the offense. Maybe he'll have a nice week. He went for 4 catches, 46 yards, but it wasn't really anything spectacular. You know, it was just
close to 10 points. He won't lose you the week, but
yeah,
that's something that's going to win you the week.
So, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs offense in general was swinging. It was good. You know, their running game was non-existent. Kareem Hunt, if it wasn't for that touchdown, he would have had a non-existent game. I think we might start to have a conversation about Isaiah Pacheco, even though he just came back, I believe, 2-3 weeks ago. It's not looking – and that offensive line a little banged up. That offense is – that running game, man, is – if I had to bet on Isaiah Pacheco, I wouldn't feel good at all. As a long-term option, you know what I'm saying? So It's, and then if you look at the Steelers offense, Russell Wilson had an up and down game. You know, Najee Harris, 13 carries, 74 yards, 5.7 yards per carry. Jalen Warren, also 11 carries, 71 yards, 6.5 yards per carry. It seemed like they were having a good day running the ball. Pat Freiermuth had one of the better days out of all the, you know, receivers for the Steelers offense. 7 catches, 60 yards. I wish he was there last week to do that shit for me, where I needed him most. He does that when I'm already out the chip, but it is what it is. It seems like George Pickens were getting quite frustrated throughout the game. You know, there was a few catches that he had that got taken back because of penalty. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know how to feel about it. Once again, Gold Dogs, love my guy. And George Pickens, once again, was one of those people who I bought quite a bit. But I just don't know how to feel about him long term. Like, the talent is there. The offensive coach, I want to see them get more touches. I want him to see him get the ball more. You want to see him kind of just chill out on the diva attitude a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think he's a super talented guy. My worry is that it just won't happen for him in Pittsburgh. The fact that they brought in Arthur Smith should let us know that, you know, he hates our fantasy teams, and he's going to do whatever he can to make our fantasy guys on his teams, you know, look like shit to the best of his ability. So we knew it was going to be an even timeshare. You know, he was even going to... Hey, how are you? Got the little man on there. We got a third member of Fourth and Fantasy here.
He came out of nowhere. But no, it was a good game. I don't know what to think of the Steelers when it comes to them being a playoff team. I don't think they're legit. Keep it a buck. I don't think they have the offensive power to go deep. Yeah. I could be wrong. But
I think the biggest problem with them is Russell Wilson took 5 sacks in this game. And he's only completing 5.5 yards per attempt. So everything's close to the line of scrimmage. And he's absorbing a lot of sacks. So, there's no explosive element. If I had George Pickens on my team, I would try to utilize him in a better way. But it's also somewhat on George Pickens, because he seems to get easily frustrated with things. So he needs to, you know, play within himself as well, because sometimes those frustrations lead to less playing time and less targets. I don't know if they're sending a message to him, but I'm almost to the point where I think George Pickens may have to go somewhere else to break out to his full potential.
I wouldn't be mad at that either. But we also had a second game on Christmas. They delighted us. We had the wonderful Baltimore Ravens versus Houston Texans, and that kind of was a crapshoot. It was boring. It was a snooze fest. 31-2, Baltimore Ravens coming out on top. And it's funny throughout this
if you're a Ravens fan, or if you got, you know, Derrick Henry, or
Lamar. If you had Derrick, like I, yes. If you like
and
I,
and it was a me. Wonderful game.
It was a wonderful game. 27
Mark Andrews,
carries.
Mandrews, not so much for a Zay Flowers enthusiast. Not so much for pretty much anybody else on the teams, but. Derrick Henry looked like he could have easily went for 200 yards in that game. He was ripping off, you know, 8 yards seemingly every time he touched the ball.
You can say Mark Andrews too. He had a nice day.
Yeah. 2 catches, but he made the most of it with the.
He made the most, and that's what I needed.
63-yard catch, and also I think it was a 1-yard touchdown in the end zone where nobody covered him because. Derrick Henry was kicking their ass up and down the field, so they would have rather leave people wide open in the end zone than have Derrick Henry crush them again for another touchdown. So, it was pretty much over, you know, early in the third quarter. I could have used a little bit more from Derrick Henry, but I'm happy with what I got. And as far as the Texans, see, that offense is just broken now. They haven't looked good in a long time. I'm not sure what they need. It's almost like they need a new offensive identity, because they've been over-relying on Joe Mixon for most of the year. That when Joe Mixon gets bottled up, you know, they have no pivot. And they have no other game plan than to give it, you know, over and over to Joe Mixon and let him carry and then play off of him. You got C.J. Stroud. There should have been opportunities for Stroud during the season, you know, to throw, to win games. And it just seems like, to me, it just seems like an over-reliance on your running back. And now coming to roost. And that team looks like they are going to get blown out in the first weekend of the NFL playoffs. That team just has nothing going for them. And if they weren't in the AFC South, then, you know, they're not even a playoff team. They're just blessed to be in one of the worst divisions in football. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, they ended up getting down pretty quickly. So with that, Joe Mixon there, even when he was getting the ball, he wasn't running it. He didn't really have room to get going anyway. He only ran 9 times. Then when John Metchie had one of the better days for the receivers with 5 catches and 48 yards, with Nico coming in with the highest yards total but only 3 catches. I don't know what's going on with C.J. Stroud, and I don't think it's all the way on him. And I think it's kind of funny how we all, or the fantasy community or just football community in general, has flipped the switch on Bobby Slowick. Last year he was a great offensive coordinator, and he could do no wrong, and the offense is humming, and next a year goes by and now he's the worst offensive coordinator in the league, as people like to think. So
go ahead. You sometimes get a little bit too much credit, and sometimes not, you know, I think sometimes they take a little bit too much credit for the wins, and sometimes they take a little bit too much responsibility for the losses. I think a part of it is the offensive line cratering. C.J. Stroud went along big part of the season without Nico Collins. Tank Dell, he finally had a good game, and then, you know, what happened to him. So it's hard to gauge, but I just hope that you know, we get the C.J. Stroud we got in his rookie year next year, because it looks like it's not going to happen in 2024.
No, I don't think it is. But one more game, it's not going to happen in 2024. And then you got the playoffs around the corner, and I don't see them going deep. I see them getting bounced out. Something has to get done. You're going to have Tank Dell out for looking like all of 2025. So you're going to need someone across of Nico Collins. And then you're going to have Stephon Diggs, if you do bring him back, coming back from an ACL. That's two of your top receivers having major injuries. They did just pick up Deontay Johnson.
And it's a big opportunity for him.
On the waiver wire, he could. And I don't think I want to be careful with my words. I don't think he's washed. I don't think the situation in Baltimore should, you know, be on him per se. I think
he was good in Carolina. He was really good this year until he got traded.
I think where it went wrong was Baltimore Ravens traded for him as a depth guy. He wasn't playing. He got frustrated, and, you know, he did what he did. Now he's on the Texans. Hopefully he can show out, or not even, I won't say show out, but he can show something in his last game. He still has to learn the playbook, but this, I think Deontay Johnson, this is more for next year. The hype, you know, with the season almost being over.
Yeah, I mean, his one skill is he can get open, so hopefully, you know, his ability to get open will help out C.J. Stroud, because, you know, that's something that really nobody else on the team besides Nico Collins can do right now.
Rocco, we have major news today. We got major news. Star receiver C.D. Lamb has been shut down for the last game. Last two games of the season with his shoulder. This is for someone who me like me who has a ton of C.D. Lamb and who has him in some leagues that I am fighting for the championship. Not something I wanted to hear on championship week, man. But this is something that if you watch the Dallas Cowboys, if you watch just C.D. Lamb in general, you've seen that he's been battling the last few weeks with that shoulder, toughing it out, grinding it. And you can just say he's a warrior. I loved everything. You know, I'm sad to see that I won't see him from the last two games of the season, but I'd rather him be nice and healthy. He doesn't need surgery. So, you know, and we've been already eliminated out of the playoffs. But I don't know. How do people pivot from this? I mean, I'm pivoting. I moved in the league that I have CD in the championship. I moved him out the way, and I'm now starting DeMario Douglas. Shout out to you, my G. And I need you and Drake May to go stupid over the weekend. Stupid.
It could happen. I had the same choice when CD Lamb went down. I also have DeMario Douglas in the league. I instead pivoted to Jalen Coker, just because I feel like he has a little bit more upside to help me win. DeMario Douglas, I don't think he's been consistently around 10 points, but you know, he hasn't had really a big week, so I'm gonna take a chance that Jalen Coker can kind of expose. Not exposed because they've already been exposed, but the Tampa Bay secondary hasn't been good this year. And Coker has been one of the leading targets for the Carolina Panthers. So hopefully Chuba Hubbard gets held in check and we have to lean on Jalen Coker. Cokeheads unite. We're going with them this week.
Well, for me, it was either start DeMario Douglas, and for me, looks – I can't. DeAndre Hopkins already played, and I didn't even want to start him in the first place. But so it was either DeMario Douglas or ride with Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. And DeMario Douglas has the easier matchup. So, and Zach Ertz didn't have a solid week last week. And I don't know. That CD Lamb news kind of put a detriment in my day, because I really want to win this one. I told myself this is the one league that last year I finished number one regular season. I finished again number one this regular season, but I got bounced out of the first round last year. I made it all the way to the championship this year, and I really wanted to bring it home. CD, I needed you, baby, but we're going to be back. I'm still going to try to tough it out without you, man. Another injury
in the playoffs.
It's real, man. You ain't got to tell me. And that, speaking of the team that's actually playing right now that I have on my television above me, the Seattle Seahawks, KW3, Kenneth Walker III, has been moved to IR. Is his 2004 season done? Have we seen the last of his season?
It's done. They're not making the playoffs. And IR is four games, so the team would have had to make it to the championship round for us to possibly see him again. Yeah, that shit ain't happening. This season's done. Come back stronger next year, and I don't know. He needs to protect his groin and his ankles vigorously in the off season, because it seems like every year there's a groin injury. He's just been banged up, and I hate to see it, because he's one of the most talented guys in the league. I've acquired him in a lot of different places. I guess people got tired of that the bullshit with him being hurt all the time, but I'll take that.
I was gonna say, Rocco, how would you going forward with, you know, at this point we've seen ever since his rookie year, he's missed time with injuries. Would you still feel comfortable buying Kenneth Walker III if you were?
Fuck yeah. Look at J.K. Dobbins. Look at Frank Gore. Guys are injured until they're not. You know, he's had some issues. He's had a lot of groin injuries. I don't know what's up with that. But
the price you would pay for him, though. Like I
give up a 2026 first right now.
I don't think I'm as lean.
2025 late first form. I think in the Fucks League.
I don't think I could do it. I don't. Kenneth, and I had the chance actually to grab him earlier in the season where someone was trying to sell him to me. I don't know if you've done this before, but if you ever had been in leagues with someone and y'all in different leagues together, you make one trade in one league, and then that facilitates a trade in another one. So it's I don't like Kenneth Walker. You know, I think he's a really good player.
Free information if you're in multiple leagues, because you can just look and see who somebody trades for to see who they like, and if you have that player, you know, you can go over there and say, I know you like this guy, you know, let's get something started. So that helps. I know you and who you and Max like, so you know, if I have CD Lamb, I know I'm gonna go holler at you.
Yeah.
If I have Drake London, you know who I'm going to talk to.
Now, speaking on leagues, sometimes you might have to bail on one. You might have to just hit the okie doke, do an Irish goodbye. No, don't do an Irish goodbye. Always be like, Irish when you just up and dip without telling nobody. That's an Irish goodbye. Yeah, you just go out the way. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's actually justified to leave a league. Rocco, tell the people before I give my reasonings why I would think about leaving the league. When, especially us being in multiple, being in a lot of leagues and thinking about the 2025 season, we're going to want to do startups. We're going to want to do new leagues. Hell, we're going to be starting a fourth in fantasy league up and coming. What factors go into you leaving the league to downsize?
There's several factors. One factor that I try not to leave a league for is, you know, something that I did to the team. Like if I, you know, sold all my assets to try to win a championship, those aren't the leagues I'm going to leave. I made my bed, I'm going to sleep in it. The reasons I would leave a league is because, mainly, if the commissioner is a dickhead, you know, if he's just an abrasive person that changes the rules without, you know, consulting with the league, he does shady stuff. I'm in a league that I'm probably going to leave. I reached out to the commissioner and asked him if the person I was playing, because it's an ESPN league, so it's no easy way to contact the other person that you're playing. So I contacted the commission. I asked him if he wanted to reach out to the person I'm playing and change the split in the pot, and the winnings, and didn't get back with me. We had a group me set up for the league, which is kind of dumb because, I mean, why do I need another social app to contact, you know, these people I'm in the league with? So I finally posted on there and asked him, and he's like all pissed off, and it's no split, bro. I was like, oh, okay, what's the pot? It's the same every year, just write this shit down. Why you gotta keep asking me? Like, I'm asking you because it's not posted anywhere. But that's cool. You know, what I feel like he was doing was he was delaying a little bit, so his guy could see if he did good on the Wednesday games, because I wanted to have clarity before the Wednesday game started, because he had Lamar Jackson and Joe Mixon and the kicker, one of the kickers who actually got a zero. I think he was trying to delay, if his guys did good, he would say no split, and if his guys did bad, he'd be like, he wants to split. Like, no, fuck you. Just tell me what it is beforehand, and the fact that you get pissed off because you didn't answer my question for 2 days, and now I'm, like, trying to find out, you know, before the game start on Christmas. I don't give a shit what you're doing. You should have answered me 2 days ago. But you,
fuck you.
But you postponed this shit as long as possible to try to okie doke on me. Nah, you can have that fucking league. I don't need that fucking league. Just because I won it twice and might win it a third time is not a reason for me to stay in that league. The other reasons that I would leave a league, besides weird shit happening with the commissioner, is just a dead league. Like, nobody talks, nobody trades.
Nobody likes that shit.
Quest. The only thing
that's a headache.
The only thing you could do is set your lineup, because there's just no motion going on in this league at all.
There's no room for you. There's no room in my leagues for you. This is go out for any of you inactive motherfuckers out there that want to join any of my dynasty leagues. I ain't going for it, and you will be replaced.
You pull the plug on them quick. I seen you.
I'm gonna get you up out of that quick.
I think I joined about 3 leagues in that manner in your leagues. You're not around, you can't answer.
Not doing it, bro.
You made a move in a couple months, and you're just not doing shit. Then you can get out.
I'm not going for it, bro. It's not. I keep telling. I don't hold hand. We are all grown adults. We all have our lives. We all, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm not doing it. So, once again, some people are built for dynasty. Some people are built for redraft. Know what you're good at. Know what best fits for you, and stay to that. If you know you're not, you don't have the time for dynasty, don't play dynasty. It's that simple.
And another reason would be if the other managers in the league are just dickheads. They just talk shit about. I mean, everybody likes a good shit talking.
But, 100%.
There's shit talking, and then there's just annoying people.
Yeah.
Or people that, want to talk about, stuff outside of fantasy football, like politics or, just bullshit like that. I can't deal with that nonsense. This is fantasy football chat.
Yeah, we ain't here for that. We're not here for nothing else but some fantasy football, man. Yeah. So,
talk some shit, but. There's talking shit, and then there's just dickheads that you just don't want to deal with. And if I wouldn't want to deal you in with you in regular life, or on my socials, then why am I hanging around playing fantasy football with you?
100%. Rocco made some very valid points, and I agree with actually all of them. Where it comes to 100, when it comes to the commissioner, that plays a very big part. Does the commissioner let all these shady trades fly by? Does he change rules without announcing the changes to the league? Those are the things that you need to pay attention to, because there are shady commissioners that will do these sly things. And this is why I pay attention to almost everything in the league. I look at the rules. I look at, the pin messages. Because that's what they're there for. And any changes in my leagues, any changes that get made are pinned. So next time anybody needs to go back and look at it, they can just go in there and look without actually needing to ask. Other reasons why I would leave a league is, once again, like Rocco said, if it's inactive, if it's making trades is like pulling teeth, I don't want to be in it. It's not fun. It kills the drive for me, and it makes the, you know, the league stale. You know, you don't need to be make hella trades. You don't need to be flying off the wall, but healthy trades throughout the season is what keeps a league going year and year and year and year and out.
Just respond to my trade offer. If you don't like my trade offer, tell me to fuck off. But
yeah, just go. Yeah, you know, please.
People just, you know, have, you know, don't respond to trade offers for like a couple months. That's not cool. You know,
that's not cool.
That's not cool. Just tell me you're not a trading person. That way I can move on. But just respond. Don't leave me on red.
So if you have to think about the leagues that you're in now, because right now I stopped counting, but I'm in 40 plus leagues, and I told myself each one of these guys probably will get a 3-year commitment out of me. But I said did one or two that I might have an exception for just because the league and the commissioner itself. But you know, are you thinking about leaving any leagues for the 2025 season?
I haven't done a full breakdown of all of the leagues I'm in, but I'm sure I'm gonna leave a couple without thinking too hard about it. I know there's at least a couple, and you know, those couple that I leave are gonna just make room for, you know, the leagues I join in, you know, in this off season. I think 25 is about my limit, so any leagues I join, I want to kind of cut out that many leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a couple. I know there's a couple with shithead commissioners that I just don't want to deal with. And it's worth the money, even if you pay, you know, extra year in advance like most leagues do. It's worth the money not to have to just deal with that shit, because you're always going to be paying, you know, every year. So it doesn't matter if you paid in early. That's already a sunk cost.
I don't know how I feel about the whole pay up front. And I get it, because it mediates the stupid shit that you deal with people just up and leaving the league. Because I've seen some people just up and leave, like a $50 league. I've seen people just leave. Why? Why would you just waste your money like that? You're not gonna. I don't want to just be robbed for the free. You gonna have to work to get this money. You feel me? You gonna have to take me out. You gonna have to work for that.
Well, the worst part is, you know, people, you know, totally destroying a team and leaving it with no value.
Oh, those are the worst.
You know, and then leaving where you almost have to, you know, convince somebody to take over that league.
You have to pay the league dude. Like, you have to pay that whoever takes over that team. It's almost like you have to be like, oh, I'll pay the up and coming league dude if you just take over this team. You don't have to pay for it. I just need you for it.
I had a league where a couple guys left teams in such bad spots. I had to shrink the league into a 10-team league. That was the only way to keep it going. And I really kind of wanted to bail on it, but, you know, there was about 7 guys that were totally locked in, so that's why I kept it rolling. But I was very tempted to nuke that league. But, yeah, people can leave
and
really leave teams in a bad space and leave commissioners in a bad spot to try to fill this league up.
Yeah, don't feel bad. Okay, I'll take that back. Feel bad if you just up and leave a league. Like, if you don't give no fair warning, the league is active, it's doing what they need to do, and you just up and leave. You're one of the most people I don't like. You're the fantasy people that I don't want in my leagues. I don't bang with y'all. But the ones that do have a justified reason, like, if you personally just don't get along with anybody in that league, there's no reason why you should stick around for torment. There's literally cyberbullying. You're leaving yourself up to cyberbullying.
And if you like just other guys in that league, message them on the side and ask them if they want to join your next league.
Yeah, just do it up and out. Or join a fourth in fantasy league.
Fourth in fantasy league.
Mm. You know, but that's our reasons. That's our reasons to up and leave a league. And we will be up and leaving leagues very soon. So, yeah. But we're our last topic of the night, of the episode, is a continuance of our last episode of our top 10 tight ends in Dynasty, where we went through 6 through 10 or 10 through 6. Today, we're going to finish that out 5 through 1. And you will get our tight end one in Dynasty. I think at this point, it's a pretty given who that is and who that might be. But let me get my spreadsheet up and rolling, going.
Let's go. All
right. That's a little too close. There we go. All right. This is where we left off last time. Just to give a recap, Rocco at his number 10 spot has Isaiah Likely. And after I finish this list, Rocco, you can tell me if you're still sticking by this or have this changed since. We have Isaiah Likely at 10. We have Travis Kelce at 9. We have Jonnu Smith at 8. Kyle Pitts at 7. And TJ Hockenson at 6.
Yeah, I'd probably move down Kyle Pitts to just ahead of Isaiah Likely and bump up the other two.
All right, so we have...
You can only give me so many 0-point weeks before I just lose my mind.
So Isaiah Likely is giving... He's still on his list.
He's still on the list. I like Likely. He scored a touchdown on Christmas, and if it wasn't for Mark Andrews, he'd probably be a lot higher on this list. I just think he's a very naturally talented guy.
So he's the last guy. I don't know, man. That fumble that he had into the end zone this last game, it's. I don't know what to do with Kyle Pitts, bro. Kyle Pitts, yeah. If you watch the fourth of fantasy, if you see how serious I just got, bro, listen, I don't know how much more of an advocate I could be for you, player. I don't know how much I can keep, you know, trying to keep these boys off of you, thinking that you don't love the game, man, because you out here laying out eggs. I don't know. How many times can I pitch on potential, my G? I need you to get it together. There's only one more game of the season that I can stay a truther. And I can't be a Kyle Pitts truther for another season, my boy. What are we doing?
Man, if it wasn't for that 1,000-yard rookie season, and the fact that he lost a season and a half due to a destroyed knee, he probably wouldn't be on this list. But tight end, such a weak position that I can keep a guy in my top 10 just on promise and upside alone, so that's why it's hard for me to take him off this list.
All right, so today,
I just don't see the other guys below him, being that much more valuable.
So today we're going to switch it up a little bit. Sometimes the last few times we just where you gave your 5-4-3-2-1. And then I gave my 5-4-3-2-1. Today, let's go hand to hand. So you okay. Give your 5, I give my 5. You give your 4, I give my 4 until we get to our 1.
All right. I like it. My 5, after last season, he was the tight end 1 in Dynasty. He slipped a little bit because he basically didn't do anything for the first half of the season. But he's been coming on strong lately. Give me Sam LaPorta. He's still in the elite offense.
Sam LaPorta. And
he can go off for a couple touchdowns any given week. He's just not as trustworthy as he was last year.
Are you still a believer? I mean, okay, it's hard to say you can't be a believer in Sam LaPorta, right? Since he's only in his second year NFL, going into his third year next year, right? But as a Sam LaPorta guy, I love Sam. I love me some Sam LaPorta. And after his rookie year, you had people, I think, overdrafting him. Where would you
second round dynasty pick startup this offseason?
He was. I seen him go as early as late first. Had me thinking, what are we doing for tight end premium leagues? What are we doing? You know what I mean?
See me, I'm more of a wait on tight end type of guy.
See, same. But that also got me in trouble with Evan Ingram getting hurt. But that's besides the point. Sometimes you with the tight end position, if you don't have one of the top five guys, I feel like, or top six, seven, everything else is kind of a crapshoot. You know, it's a hit or miss. At that number five, I would agree. I would go Sam Laporta as well at that number five spot. I liked what we saw from him for his rookie year. Did he have the same type of level of sophomore year? No. He did take a slump back. Obviously, Jameson Williams has had a better year. He's been more evolved. He's has more catches. I think Jameson might be pretty close to a 1,000-yard season. I don't think he will hit it. I think he'll probably end up a few yards shy. He's at 890, so he'll need 110 yards this last game to hit 1,000 for the year. You know, good milestone for him. So going forward, I like me and Sam Laporta. He's still young. You know, it's said to be, you know, what that offense would look like after Ben Johnson leaves in the offseason, if he leaves. He might stay. But if he does end up leaving, I do want to see what that offense does look like for Sam Laporta going forward. So who's your number four guy, Rocco?
All right. At number four. Oh, geez. There's a mistake here. It's my mistake. But in my top 10, you could kick Kyle Pitts out the club.
Out the club.
I didn't have my guy Njoku in there. And obviously Njoku was number six. I don't know what I did. But
I got you.
Just gotta do some housekeeping here. I don't know how Njoku got out of my top 10, but that needs to be rectified immediately. I can only have one upside guy on this list because Njoku is having big years at the tight end.
He's having a year.
He's fully in his prime, and hopefully they get a quarterback in Cleveland. But at number
so Njoku at that six. Njoku at that sixth spot, is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Him and Hockenson are really close, but Hockenson is still coming off of the knee injury. Njoku's a little banged up, but he's been mostly healthy for the last couple years. At number four, I'm going to go with a guy who's probably, if not the tight end one this year, he's pretty damn close to it. If it wasn't for age, he would be a lot higher on this list. Give me George Kittle. He's gonna probably crest 1,000 yards, eight touchdowns, over 70 catches, and he is probably the best player in the San Francisco offense, and he's one of the few remaining guys in that offense. Like I said, if he wasn't about to be 30 years old, he would probably be higher on this list. And the fact that there's a lot of other potential good pieces to the San Francisco offense, you see him sometimes take a step back. You know, if there's other guys with other guys in that offense, especially when Ayuk was healthy. But this year he's been the true top target on that team. And there's just no way, you know, he can be any lower than top four on my list.
I can agree with that one. I will go to bat for that. I very much do love me some George Kittle. When you think about the tight end position, you know, now in modern age, you think about the receiving, you think about the highlight plays, right? But George Kittle likes the dirty plays. He likes to block. He likes to just, you know, put you to the ground. And that's something that I very much appreciate about Kittle's character and what he brings to the game. And that's why he is also at my number four spot.
Nice, we're in lockstep.
Even if he is a San Francisco 49er, and I can't stand the mother effers, it's hard to keep him out the top four. He's producing. He does have a really good quarterback in Purdy. Yes, he is sturdy, and you know, but we've seen, you know, tight ends produce like Travis Kelce for up until like their 34, 35, up, you know, as long as they're able to, you know, go and do it, we've seen them go. So absolutely love George Kittle at number four. That is my guy. At number, we're getting to that top three part. What are we thinking, my G? What's who's at number three?
I got another old guy who did some good things for you on Christmas.
Yes, he did.
And he, no matter how often this team tries to put other top targets in this team, it seems like he is still the top target for the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe not in catches and yards, but definitely in touchdowns. Mandrews, a guy that started off slow and is still, you know, having a hell of a year, even with his slow start. So it's hard not to keep Mandrews. He's 2 years younger than George Kittle, and that's part of the reason why he's ahead of him on this list.
Love me some Mark Andrews, and I knew there was a couple people who hopped off the train earlier in the season, the first month of the season. I had somebody early in the season in the $50 league that I'm currently in the championship league, offer me a third round pick for Mark Andrews. That's how bad Mark Andrews was producing. He wasn't giving no one value that they thought they could just swing you a third for the number. I think what Mark Andrews might be top five. He might be the number five tight end this year at 29. After having a slow start to the season due to a car accident, it's almost like he's still good at football, right? It's almost like that offense still revolves heavily around Mark Andrews, and he's been on a touchdown streak the last couple of weeks. I love me some Mark Andrews.
Well, if you look at it, looking at his box scores here, he didn't have a touchdown until week six. And he has 10 touchdowns right now, so that, I guess that can kind of put it in perspective on what kind of touchdown tear he's been on, you know, to score 10 touchdowns in 11 games. That's pretty prolific. Before week six, his best performance was four catches, basically 9 PPR points, no touchdowns, and he also had a couple goose eggs, so that was the time to strike on a Mark Andrews trade, was when he had back-to-back 0 point games, because you're not going to get him that cheap anymore.
No, you're not going to get Mark Andrews, and I am so happy, because Mark Andrews wasn't on my team when I initially started this offseason, you know what I mean? He wasn't my tight end when I ended last season. I actually ended up having, what was it? I had Michael Mayer, and then I flipped Michael Mayer and something else. Ended up getting Dalton Kincaid in the trade. And then I was like, I don't think I really like Dalton Kincaid. Like, there's when, you know, people were going crazy. When Stephon Diggs got traded from Buffalo, people were like, Dalton Kincaid is going to have tight end one season. He's the guy now. I traded Dalton Kincaid for Mark Andrews, and boy, was that the move. My tight end move of the year. Like, Mark Andrews, I needed a tight end, and he has been the tight end for me. So shout out to you, Mark Andrews.
I don't mean to interrupt, but
yeah, brother.
If you're watching the game, but DeAndre,
I'm watching it right now.
He just tried to jump over three defenders on the sideline.
Oh yeah,
he's lucky he's still
they
alive.
Were playing it. Yeah, DeAndre Swift,
bro,
baby.
What are you doing? Like, that was
go
the
dogs.
Dumbest thing. That was the dumbest thing
go
I've seen in a while.
I mean, right. It's not, now that I'm looking at it though, and not to get too off, it's not seem like the game hasn't been not too many big plays. It's kind of boring. I think it's what, 3-0 right now?
Yeah,
yeah, it is 3-0.
My guy, he hasn't done anything spectacular, but they've been hyper-targeting him so far, DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, another.
Give me 15 and I'll feel good about it. Get me any more and I'll feel really good about several leagues. But before we get...
So hit us with your number two. We got number two. We got...
Everybody knows who these top two guys are based on who's coming off the board. And these guys could kind of flip... but I'm going to go with Trey McBride at number two.
Trey McBride.
That man is just so good. Where he came from last year, from being the backup to Zach Ertz, and just to, you know, come out of nowhere basically and be a league winner down the stretch for a lot of teams. Was pretty cool to see. So it makes you wonder how many guys are buried on teams. But he's got 92 receptions. He'll have 1,000 yards by the end of the next game. But what's kind of funny, and I put this on Kyler Murray, is that man has 0 touchdowns. Like, what are you doing?
He has 0 touchdowns on the year.
Zero touchdowns. And that's going to be part of the reason why I have the guy over him. But yeah, he's going to be number two, and I'll get into why he's number two and not number one when we talk about the next guy.
I think our top four guys are going to be, our top five guys are going to be damn near identical, Rocco, because I am also going Trey McBride at number two. I always tell people how good Zach Ertz was to keep Trey McBride off the field, right? It's Trey McBride is one of those guys, PPR, if you have him in a PPR league, you're going to love him. He gets receptions, you know, to counteract the... Well, I guess especially this year when he doesn't have touchdowns, right? So, if your tight end is not scoring touchdowns, you better hope he's getting receptions in large. So, hopefully next year, Kyler Murray, and maybe we still need to start having a conversation about Kyler Murray. I hate to say that because I actually do like me some Kyler Murray. I thought he was going to have a better season with Marvin Harrison Jr. and then with your boy Trey McBride, but it just hasn't turned out to be what it was. And you know, maybe they turn it around. Maybe it's a different offensive, you know, play caller. It's a different head coach. I don't know. But at this point, you know, Trey McBride, I think, has solidified himself as that number two spot. And he might have, if it wasn't for this season that our number one guy has had, and I think how his career is going to go for it, Trey McBride would be tied in one, hands down, if it wasn't for who I think our number one tight end in Dynasty is.
Absolutely. Our tight end one and most people's tight end one is going to be the same, Brock Bowers. The thing that separates him from Trey McBride for me is this rookie year production. It separates him from basically any other tight end that's ever lived. To put up over 100 yards, 1,000 yards, 100 catches, is just it's just unseen. It's not something tight ends do. It usually takes tight ends a long time to learn the league, learn the position, to actually put up numbers. And he's just blowing away, you know, every tight end except for touchdowns. He's blown away every tight end statistic from a rookie basically ever, and it's just crazy to think that he's doing this on a team that's total shit.
No quarterback.
You wonder what he would look like on a good team. So hopefully they get a get a quarterback next year, but this guy is just the prototype. He, you know, he's great after the catch. He's a great route runner. You know, he's
playmaker. Just what you want. Athlete. What you want out of that tight end position? What the modern day tight end is right now is we moved away from those 6'8". You know, we moved away from those 6'8", 266. No, those, I won't say we moved away because you still got like Dalton Schultz, 6'5", Pat Freiermuth, 6'5", those guys. No, but you've seen more of those guys who can flex out, like a Browers who's 240.
And he's basically a slot receiver. He lines up more than half of his plays in the slot, 17% out wide. So as an inline tight end, only a quarter of his plays. So very versatile where he can line up. And he's almost not even a tight end at this point. He's basically, you know, the number one receiver.
Yes, and he should be. He should be the number one option. That's how you treat a guy like that. That's how you treat a playmaker like that. You treat him as your number one guy. You try to get him the ball in as many ways that you can, whether it's inside, outside, in line, online. It's you know what I mean? It really just depends on what you're trying to do. And that's why he is undoubtedly my tight end one. Go Dawgs. You know how it is. You know, before we even started this list, where we were going with my boys, man. You know, Brock Bowers, this term gets tossed out very loosely, generational. You know, generational running back, generational quarterback. Caleb Williams is a generational quarterback. Saquon Barkley is a generational running back. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a generational wide receiver. Brock Bowers is legitimately a generational tight end. The stats that he put up in college, we haven't seen it before. What he's been doing in the NFL as a rookie at the tight end position that normally has a upward curve to learn in the NFL, he has been balling. And then you brought up the QB situation that he's been dealing with. If he had even better, it's almost the same thing that we say about Malik Nabers. If he had better QB play this season, man, especially with Nabers, who I believe is top three, top five, if I'm thinking about it, top two in the NFL when it comes to targets. So Brock Bowers, tight end one. If you was able to get him at the later rounds of the first, you got him at a steal, because I think he's going to be tight end one for quite some time, for maybe probably his whole career at this point, if he doesn't get hurt.
He's tied for second in receptions amongst receivers and tight ends, just to put that in perspective. Just an absolute target hog.
So, guys, I'm looking at Dalton Kincaid did not make the top 10 list. Kyle Pitts did not make the top 10 list. Cole Kmet, you know, I don't think he would have made anybody. I mean, unless he would. If you're out there and you think Cole Kmet's a top 10 tight end, bless your heart. But, you know, some of these guys like Ben Sinnott, I think he has potential to be a top 10 tight end eventually. But until Zach Ertz leaves, just don't see that happening. Kyle Pitts, I feel, has gotten all the opportunity he could. It's starting to look like dark hours. We're running out of excuses for him. I think Pat Freiermuth, actually, from his performance last game, he could secretly sneak into my top 10 list. I think he's super underutilized in that offense
If he wasn't on Pittsburgh, yeah.
Look, if he was anywhere else, I like him.
If he was anywhere else that actually targeted the tight ends, that actually, you know, ran a modern offense and not whatever the hell Arthur Smith's running out there.
But, bro, think about him. He's
probably sneaking there.
Think about him in Cincy. Think about him on the Bengals, man. Come on, dog.
You put any of these guys on Cincinnati and you're liking what you see. I mean,
That's a good product.
Away from those three receivers that are going to get most of the love, and put him on Cincinnati. He looks good.
You said that's good luck. Oh, do you you giving me ideas now? Don't
Dallas get me started. Dallas Goedert, he is just like the epitome of like top 15 guy, and just the guy that's hard to trust on a week in week out basis. You know, when he has a good game, you know it helps, but you gotta be ready for his floor, which is like 5 points.
Would Tucker Kraft make your top 10? Looking back at it,
Tucker Kraft is close. I think Isaiah Likely has a little bit more variety of ways he's used. Tucker Kraft's more in that.
He's more in line.
In line, you know, make something happen after the catch. I just think that Isaiah Likely is showing a little bit more variety with his routes, with his you know, with his abilities. For him, I think he could definitely raise up higher on this list if he was on a different team where he was given a chance to be the tight end one.
And that's you see Metcalf crashing out right now?
He's crashing out?
DJ Metcalf.
Oh, yeah, Metcalf. Poor Metcalf. Yeah,
crashing out right now.
Yeah. I don't think JSN has done anything in this game either.
No, and he was another guy I was thinking about trading for when I was in one league for a championship push.
I like him, but it's hard to trust anything in Chicago in December. It gets cold or it gets windy. I would like to see that team play in a dome one day, because the ball just does weird stuff in Chicago with that wind. Yeah, so,
but yeah.
Hopefully DJ Moore is all right. I saw him on the sideline. Hopefully he's just a little winded from, you know, being so involved in the game plan, and he can come out and give me 15 points in the second half.
But no, this was our top 10. This is that top 10 TE list. I absolutely, you know, I've grown to value the tight end position a little bit more. That was something in my first year on Dynasty where I was only in one league. My tight end position was the least, my weakest strength on the team, and it's grown into my second in most of my leagues. It depends, right? In my money leagues, I'm in a championship right now, I'm working with Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, and that's kind of it. I have Trimble, you know what I mean? But I think what will be fun when we get into draft season, when we get back into going over our tight end prospects, how they stack up against these guys on our top tight end list. Let's say, like, our wonderful guy that we love, Tyler Warren. Where would he be? I know he hasn't played a snap in the NFL yet, but could he, you know, potentially knock one of these guys off of your top 10 list?
Everything on this is going to depend on landing spot. I'm not sure. Maybe I haven't seen enough tape on these guys, but I don't know if, you know, any of the tight end class is going to knock any of these guys off without knowing the landing spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, if one of them goes to Cincinnati, yeah, then they're probably going to be in the top, you know, 7 or 8 before they play a snap. But, you know, I mean, they could go to, I don't know, Pittsburgh and be the tight end too with Freiermuth and Arthur Smith running the play. So,
waste potential.
Landing spot can completely nuke a tight end, so it's hard for me to move anybody out just on talent alone, unless you're like a Brock Bowers and you're just a generational player who's, you know, the team will have to adjust to you, not the other way around. There's not a Brock Bowers in this draft or any draft really, so it's hard for me to put stock in any incoming rookies. The running backs, yeah, I think the running backs could immediately jump into the upper echelon of the running back list. just because I don't think the running backs that are in the league right now, there's not a lot of true size, speed, three down capability backs in the league. A lot of the guys, you know, near the top of the list are just smaller. You know, Bijan's the one guy, or they're older, you know, so that's another thing.
Yeah,
well, play the age game a little bit, so that's another thing. Yep. that can push these new guys up the list, and I think there's opportunity to be had in the league. So I think the running back class could definitely upend the top 10 dynasty running backs on my list and on most lists, but tight end is a little bit harder to break into that list.
Yeah, I think what I'm learning about dynasty, and before we head out for the night, once again, thank you all for tuning in for another episode 17, almost at 20. But one of the things that, you know, I've noticed about dynasty is that it's one of the things that keeps you on your toes, because it's, you know, pivoting, you know. It's not like redraft. Guys have different values. People see things differently. You know, whether there's a tread deadline, whether how, you know, scoring of the league plays a part, RB premium, tight end premium, if they get, you know, age, you know, when we think about being competitive, there's usually, unless you just have a juggernaut team, you typically have a 2 to 3 year window of competing, right? Where your guys are tip top. You have youth playing on your, if you did it right, you have youth playing on your side. They're at the top of their position and they're giving you value. And then, you know, after that, that's when it could start getting a little gray, just depending on who it is. Like if you, let's say you go about, you go the older running back route to build out your RB room, maybe that window to compete is more on the lines of that 2-3 year gap. But let's say you go Jahmyr Gibbs and you have Bijan Robinson, you probably don't have that pair. Keep it a buck, unless you traded for it. But let's say you have that pair, that window to compete with your RB group grows from, I say, maybe now you're good for 5 years, 5 to 6 years now of where you got good RB growth. So I'm more typically, I like old RBs. I like old running backs. I think they still have great value. We've seen with James Conner, you know, the value that he holds with the Arizona Cardinals. Those workhorse backs, love him. And he's good value if you miss out on those top five guys. But that is our show for today. It was another great one. It's always fun doing these things with you guys. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's, we didn't start, you know, shooting our pod, I think, until halfway through the season. Yeah, like week 5, week 6, I believe. So it's been fun, man. And now we're getting to a part that we actually really do enjoy, which is the rookie drafts, you know, prospect scouting.
It's so really it's time right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot more to be given to you guys, a lot that's more insight.
Teams that you have, or, you know, startup drafts. I can't wait to, you know, do some startup drafts, some rookie drafts. I
mean, yes.
You know, we can do these things live, you know, and, you know, have a good time with it.
And this is, yes, we've made it to championship games, playoff games, you know, the first round, second round, that is. But the reason why our teams got there is also because of the moves that we made during the regular season. But a lot of it is the moves that you make in the off season. That, you know, the reason why I'm actually in the championship game in my $50 money league, after finishing number one last year and getting bounced out the playoffs first round, and then finishing again number one, but making it to the championship this time, is because I thought thought about the moves I wanted to make, made them, and now they put me in a better position to get a championship and to get some money out of it. So those are the moves that we're going to be making now in these upcoming months.
Yeah, and I find that, you know, the season, and especially as you get into the playoffs, it gets to be a real stressful time because, you know, there's money on the line, it's gambling, and, you know, the wrong lineup decision, you can, you know, really kick yourself in the ass, you know, until next year. Startup drafts, you know, off-season trading, rookie drafts, that's fun. That's mm-hmm. the funnest time of the year for Dynasty League. So, you know, I'm ready for it to be over. You know, hopefully a few championships richer. We'll see. You just never know. You did everything you could in the off season during the regular season and up until game time. You know, there's still trading going on, but you made your best decisions and you got to live with it. And hopefully you're winning some ships with us.
Yes. So catch us Sunday, 11 a.m. Central Time for our last episode of the fantasy 2004 fantasy season. It has been a fun one. Regular season, or actually, it's a season in general.
Yeah, fantasy season.
Yeah, there's fantasy still, in general. Yeah,
there's still real football playoff going on. And that will change people's value too, because people will see some of the guys, you know, perform in the playoffs, and they'll get that value bump from doing it in the playoffs. So, you know, still be active.
Yes, sir. But Rocco, my G, it was a fun one. Until Sunday, we're gonna be chopping it up. We're gonna be thinking about these topics to bring y'all, and it's fun. Thank you all. Hope y'all have a wonderful day. Hope you had a good Christmas. And we check you guys in Sunday.
Fourth and Fantasy. Like, share, and subscribe.